Anyway, we've got have Alex Half on the phone with us from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Alex.
How are you, Randy?
You know, business is good, so that's making up for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it's good someplace.
Well, I mean, it's better than it was, so that's, you know, it's been a cruel marketplace this year.
Well, we have been extremely busy, and all of a sudden we just died.
Now, is that a regular seasonal thing for you because of the summer and just before school, or?
Well, we have never, in the 12 years that we've been open, we've never really experienced any kind of a seasonal change in business.
Mm-hmm.
And as we had a fire last June, and we just reopened in May, so we don't know what happened this past summer.
Right.
But it seems that an awful lot of people were slow this time last year as well. We weren't, fortunately, because we weren't open. But now things are a lot slower. We had a great 2.5 months when we first reopened.
I think that's what I call out to the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
I think anybody and everybody will always come to see you the first time. Now, what market are you in?
We're outside of Philadelphia, bedroom community, upscale.
Right. If I could throw out one more question, when do public schools start there?
Don't start till the middle of September.
Not until the middle of September. One of the things that I've experienced in my 30 years in the business is that this is a time of the year when people are getting their last vacations in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a lot of travel going on during that time period. You know, we compete with golf courses and everything else, and this is part of my rationalization justification process for slow business. But I can track it back in major markets, and I'm in an upscale restaurant myself. I have two of them.
But we're not upscale. We're mid-fare, but we're in an upscale area.
Well, once again, it still applies to the same context of the demographic is looking to, they've got to spend money on tuition, clothes, and books,
mm-hmm.
as well as pay for their summer vacations. Now, the question you've got to ask yourself is, what is different from pre-fire? You know, are there additional competitors that have come in your marketplace, you know, within a 5-mile radius of you that are, you know, in your same price point? What additional chains have come in? What other factors are there to look at that have really changed other than, you know, during the last fire season, so to speak, while you were under reconstruction?
Lee had said that also that there was nobody at the Jersey Shore. Was relatively deserted.
Yeah, that's my. If I hang up and call back, Bill, will I be all right? Because I picked up the wrong phone
sure.
to dial you.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to call you right
okay.
back.
Okay, good done.
You there, Bill?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, he was saying that he was down at the Jersey Shore or had friends down at the Jersey Shore, and there's no waiting in any of the restaurants. And this is prime time for them.
All right, I'm back.
That's better. Okay.
So the Jersey Shore is below norm also?
From what I understand, I have not been to the shore yet this summer. But from the conversations that I've had in the last couple days with locals and, you know, people who live at the shore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it has not been this past 3 or 4 weeks has not been the typical summer at the shore. The 2 and 3 hour waits to get a table just aren't there. You're
yeah.
walking into for the most part half empty restaurants.
Well, I think that
wherever they're going on vacation, it's not traditional. You know, Jersey Shore, which is where just about everybody from this area goes.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the area, and that has to have a tremendous impact on everybody. You know, if the tourism officials are, you know, acknowledging that, because a lot of times you can measure it by hotel occupancy situations. But in your own situation, has the has you know more, how many potential restaurants have opened up, you know, that are in your marketplace within 5 miles of you in the last year?
Well, actually, nobody really. They all opened before our fire.
Right.
And the first approximately 6 months before our fire, we had three restaurants open. Applebee's, a little bit higher mid-scale Italian restaurant than us, and another place that's again a mid-fare type restaurant.
Right.
The first 6 months that they were open, we were down about 15%. That's all that that was the only effect that they had on us.
Right.
Then we cruised along, and we had our fire, and then we reopened, and the first 2 months, as I said, we absolutely kicked ass.
But you were closed for 10 months, correct?
11.
11
close
months.
It's close enough.
And I think one of the things that my take on this would be from watching some businesses that have closed. Bill, you remember Jay had a fire down here.
Yeah, right.
And he was able to bounce back. But one of the things that happens is that the clients that you've got don't necessarily know that you're back, or they've gotten into other habits and patterns of behavior.
No, they know we're back. They know we're back. We got tons and tons and tons of publicity.
Right.
I sent out over 20,000 mailers 6 months in a row. We've had our website has been up to date.
Getting good hits.
Getting a lot of consistent hits. We've actually added to our customer list over 2,500 new people onto our list.
Right.
So yeah, he's got a hell of a database.
All those things, that are apparent, at least as far as I can see, are working.
Right.
They're there. And it's only been, to give you an example, before the fire, we were doing 55,000 a week.
Right.
The first 2 months we were open, we were running between 80 and 85,000 a week.
Yeah.
Now, we're in the $65,000 to $70,000 a week range. But we'll have days where we just can't get everybody in the restaurant, and the next day will be nobody. And I don't mean nobody, but I mean it'll be 50% off.
Yeah, shoot a cannon through it. Yeah. Are those weekdays or weekends?
Well, again, give you an example. Monday night we had an excellent night. Tuesday night we were dead as a doornail. Wednesday night we had an average night. Thursday night we were in the weeds all the way to closing time. And then Friday night, which would normally be our big night, we were
Yeah. I had one of those this Friday night at both my restaurants, so I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think that,
there's just no, but I guess what I'm saying is, right now, for whatever reason, there is just no consistency to anything that's happening.
But the overall trend for you is up above where you were before.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So what I would say from, and I've opened up, 13, and there's always an opening honeymoon in which you have a peak, and maybe what you're doing is settling into a new plateau. Or that's obvious what you're doing. The good news is your plateau is higher than it was previously prior to the fire.
I just love the honeymoon too much.
Don't we all? Well, at a time when you've been fighting with the insurance company to get your money out of them, and probably still haven't gotten it out of them.
You're right.
And trying to go into situations of, really recouping, there's a natural, level of, oh, they're back, you know, it's good, and they've been there. The problem is now, how do you, you know, maintain this plateau and work on it? Now, my friend Phil Hickey with Rare Inc., who runs Longhorn Steakhouses now, would say that the key right now is to focus on getting better and just really focusing on that four walls theory of, is everything that you're doing up to snuff, in the sense that at this point, the goal is to plateau as high as possible.
Right.
Because, you know, honestly, to be doing as well during the summertime when you're competing with golf courses, competing with softball, competing with people's backyards, and the travel, it's pretty darn good to be doing that. Now, I think the issue is...
We're a local neighborhood. I'm going to say we're a cross between a Cheers-type tavern,
right,
and a gourmet TGI Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
In a local small town of about 25,000-30,000 people.
Right.
Loyal, you know, if they like you, they love you.
Right.
If they don't like you, they're not there. We have a consistent following. I mean, we have all the school teachers in on Friday night.
Right.
You know, it's just...
And you know them and they know you, which is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. Everybody knows everybody.
But let me ask you this. In the year before that the fire, were you averaging, during that time period, 55,000 a week?
Yeah, we were averaging 55,000 a week prior to the fire.
Okay. Well, I think the good news is you're above that.
Right.
And I think it's, once again, a factor of honeymoon, other competition, other summertime factors. And as long as you're comfortable that your food quality, the timeliness out of the kitchen, obviously you're comfortable with the facility and the relative cleanliness of it, as long as you've got, and have you changed any, floor management since that time period? Have you got any new managers since the fire? Because of the closing?
Yes and no. I got a new manager, but my new manager was a floor person with me for the past 10 years.
Right. So they really know the operation.
Oh,
well.
That's not an issue.
Well, the real key in these things is, you know, if you're doing a good job of listening to your customers, if you're really asking them, you know, how are we doing? Is there anything we can do to improve things? And if you're listening to the wait staff, as well as the back of the house staff, because the wait staff are usually the first to bitch if there are any problems of timeliness of food or food product not being quite right, or, you know, send backs or other things. I honestly, you know, obviously we all want to, you know, when we've been out of business for a while, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the profitability ratios are so much better at the higher levels, but they can only carry themselves for so long during that honeymoon phase. And at this point, you're, you know, doing pretty well, apparently based upon your previous scenarios, and that the community has welcomed you back. And Alex, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for, just being open, even though you still got to fight with the lawyers and the insurance companies. Yeah, that's a fact of life.
This has been the biggest, I think, second biggest battle of my life on this deal.
And they'll probably drag you out a long, long time on it before they give you their money.
Oh yeah, they don't want to pay me until they absolutely can't wait.
Yeah, because they want to settle with you for, you know, for 80 cents on the dollar or 70 cents on the dollar or whatever the minimum is. Isn't that your experience, Bill?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we've pretty much gotten. I'm going to say we've probably got 90% of our claim already in our pocket.
That's pretty fortunate.
We're just fighting over the, at this point, we're fighting over the last remaining, what I call, you know, as an example, Bill, they don't want to pay for my membership in your marketing group.
Oh.
Even though I was a member prior to the fire, they don't feel that it's necessary for me to be concerned with marketing with my restaurant being closed.
Yeah, why would you want to do that?
And of course, I tell them that it's absolutely necessary to be marketing my restaurant so that when I reopen, you know, I'm ready and to go.
But they're gonna nickel and dime beyond every line
everything's
item.
Everything's a war.
Well, I think the good news is that, you know, to be reopening during the summertime, which, not being at a tourism based situation the way the Jersey Shore is, you're doing pretty phenomenal. Mm. And I wouldn't be surprised. Is the fall normally your biggest season? September, October, November?
We do, our biggest months, actually, you know, we talk about, this will be the first time I have experienced, other than a pretty consistent week after week, year after year, always the same business. Our normal volume in the past has not fluctuated 5 to 7%.
Wow.
So, you know,
on a seasonal basis?
On a seasonal basis. I mean, you know, you take out for the 28 days of February, you know, which, you know, as opposed to the 31 days of, you know, but if you run on a 13-quarter basis, as I said, there's rarely anything more than a 5 to 7% fluctuation from the best to the worst.
Even with weather factors in the wintertime up there.
Yeah, weather factors and everything.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But that's one of the advantages of not being in a tourist, you know, destination type of situation, and being in a stable neighborhood environment.
So what I was basically discussing with Bill before you got on was what was going on in the rest of the world. You know, how's everybody else doing? You know, I know I had a fantastic opening. I know, you know, everything worked perfect. Everything was wonderful. I got all the rave reviews from the newspapers. Everything is going absolutely perfect. Couldn't ask for anything better. And now all of a sudden, boom. And, you know, I was just curious as to what's going on in the rest of the world.
Well, the rest of the world, you know, and I try to read the trades every week, you know, and I don't get to every one of them, but the real news out there is that there's, you know, relatively low, you know, there's a small growth, in the meaning 1 or 2 to 3% growth in the middle casual dining range, and the consumer though is being much more concerned about their spending. We're seeing them spending on cheaper wines. They might have already traded down from Grey Goose down to Absolute. Or, you know, that the people are just really being very watchful of their spending across the board. The whole wine industry sees that, and the high-end wines just aren't selling out there.
Mm.
You know, the big marquee brand names, they have trouble selling them anywhere. And there's a sea of wine out there anyway.
Sure.
And, of course, you've got state suppliers there, so you don't really have a lot of leverage in purchasing.
None at all.
In that situation, I've traveled with two of those guys who handle state purchasing for the state of Pennsylvania, and you're screwed in that kind of situation. But the idea being that in that kind of bar situation, what's your mix of alcohol to beer to wine?
Well, we're famous, or I should say, yeah, that's a good...
he kind of does with beer what you do with wine.
Okay.
We have over 200 beers on in inventory.
Cold beer.
Yeah, and we have 20 beers on tap. Typically 5 to 8 Belgian beers, Belgian beers, not simulated.
Right.
We don't do the Coors and the Millers and the.
You do all the micros.
All the quality micro beers. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's Jay's focused on that too around here, and that's a very successful niche that's growing because it's a specialty area, and you know, in that kind of fun environment, you know, the price points are right there. The question is, did you raise your price on your beers from post fire to currently, any, you know, quarter, or did you keep it the same?
We raised the majority of our prices, maybe 25 cents for a pint of beer.
Right.
Which is, we're still, you know, that's not an issue. We're actually, in most cases, we're 25 to 50 cents cheaper than our competition.
Yeah, and that's good that you've been able to pick up some basis points there and just, you know, really looking at it. Because in a small market like that, you know, people can be price sensitive to any changes, although we certainly have price increases on an annual basis on all spirits and beers, too. They generally seem to pass them along, you know, that 3 to 7% no matter what. And I know Jack Daniels is going to, you know, increase every year 7 to 8% no matter what I do.
No matter whether you buy it or not.
Exactly. I think that I think I'd be a happy guy right now. Obviously, I'm concerned on any given day if something's right and I've got empty seats. But I think the key that I've always been taught is that you're looking at the trends. You don't look at the individual days.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the overall trend, and you look at business and think, you know, I've been in the business 30 years, Alex, and I can't yet tell you why X number of people who normally show up won't show up on a given day unless I've got a Titans football game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I can really spot it. And I wish I was smart enough to figure it out. Maybe Bill's smart enough, and he could finally teach me after all these years about that. But, you know, Bill, that's in our conversations, you've always addressed the idea of the longer-term trends.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, because right now I'd say you're in great shape, and while you're concerned about the fall from the 80 range down to where you are, you're at a New Year plateau. And the idea...
Well, I want to be...
Right.
You know, I want to be in that 75 to 80 range. That's where I want to be.
Well, we all want to be. The question is there, are there enough people in the marketplace? Who can you steal those people from, and what's it going to take to get them? You know, the question is, do you want to get into the issue of couponing or discounts of any form in order to buy additional marginal traffic?
Well, I have no problem with that.
Well, I mean, I find it works. I've done.
We do it. We just sent out our first birthday letter, first birthday mailing since we reopened.
Mm-hmm.
It went out. What's today? The 10th. It went out, didn't get out early. It got out a few days late. It got out about the 3rd or 4th. And I think we sent out about 800 August birthday letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gotten maybe 25 or 30 in already. Not that that's exciting. It should be a lot more. But, you know, I have, you know, I don't mind couponing at all. I don't give the store away.
Right.
You know, I don't mind couponing, but I'm not giving the store away.
Well, I think I have seen over the last 3 years, and I have grown to rely more and more on different mediums of couponing, whether I'm spamming my people, you know, in a quarterly newsletter or an occasional email blast, which I'm not doing as often as I used to because of some concerns, but as long as you've got an exit on there, you know, for an opt-out for people, that's very effective. As long as you don't overdo it. I find that in reading some of the national stuff that people can overuse that, just, and it's so much cheaper than snail mail and the other kind of, you know, print card programs like that. The other side of the coin is that coupons aimed at specific short periods so that, you know, there's, you know, redemption, so people come in within 30 days. Trying to do some in-house coupons, like, do you have thermal printers at the in the restaurant?
Yep.
Doing something on the bottom of your coupon, on the bottom of your tickets, say to bring this in within a week for 10% off on blank, you know, or something like that, or within 30 days to do something like that to build some increased marginalized traffic.
Mm-hmm.
that is your existing clientele, which is obviously the cheapest clientele to increase your traffic on. And the problem is, you know, you obviously don't want to do it on draft beer, but whether it's on, you know, a free dessert for everybody in the party with purchase of an entree, or, you know, with presentation of that to try to get people to come back. You know, it's good for 7 days or it's good for 30 days, depending upon what you want. Those kind of marketing discounts I have had great success with in my current restaurant, which I've had Sunset now, it'll be 13 years this November, and I've had Midtown Cafe 6 years. And I'm just doing a lot of different types of coupons and discounts on wine, you know, 35% off, and bringing the coupon to get 50% off on Sunday night and Monday night kind of things have been generating some additional traffic for me. And honestly, I'm running ahead of my competitors around here. My Midtown Cafe restaurant is running 35%, 34% this June and July over same months a year ago. And a big portion of that is just an even more aggressive couponing situation. Of course, I'm in a larger community of about 1,300,000 with about 575,000 in the immediate city itself. But I'm blasting them out there, and even though I've got a low rate, you know, I generated an additional $20,000 of my $98,000 in sales at my smaller restaurant. And, you know, I'm relying on it more and more because people are looking for a bargain.
Right.
You know, they're just being cheap right now because consumer confidence in the overall economy is relatively low.
Well, we're ahead of most of our neighbors. So, you know, That's telling me that, you know, most of the things I'm doing are close to being correct.
Well, that's the good news, you know, is that you're in touch with your business and you know what's going on in your community and you know whom your competitors are. And the question is, what else could you be doing? What have you looked at in terms of your options that you haven't decided to do? And of course, you don't want to use all your options within the first time period because you've been open, what now, 90 days?
It'll be, it'll be 90 days, this 2 days from now.
All right. And I think that I wouldn't, you know, always second guessing myself, but I wouldn't be as concerned if you find yourself when school starts back up in the sense that people are back in. Now, some of your crowd may affect them because they, some of the summer kids might go back to school.
Yeah, I'm not panicking.
Yeah, I understand.
Curious as to, you know, like I said, there's only one other restaurant in town that's doing anywhere near as good as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, I don't think that is the issue. I think the you know, from what I see and what everybody I talk to, it's just the economy right now, plain ass sucks.
It does, and you know.
You know, where are we in relation to that economy? We're doing better than the majority of the people, but, you know, I was so amazed at what we did that first month, 2 months, that I got really, really spoiled. And I'm saying to myself, what happened? You know, what the world fell out from under me here.
Yeah, I understand when you're looking at that P&L and it's smiling at you with all that beautiful black ink, it's pretty refreshing.
The first month open, I had a profit of $53,000.
Yeah, exactly.
The second month open, I had a profit of $47,000.
Yeah.
In the third month, I'm looking at probably not even $5,000.
Not even five? Did you have some additional costs? Even though, because the volume you had was higher than it was a year ago pre-closing.
Well, of course, I had increased costs in the new restaurant.
Okay. No. So your break-even point has changed?
Break-even point's changed, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a different subject in the sense that you've got to drive some additional traffic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we are driving additional traffic, but when we reopened the restaurant, we reopened the restaurant with approximately double the bar space,
right,
and about 20%, 20 to 25% increased dining room seating. So that accounts for a good portion of the increase in our traffic.
Exactly, because the potential is higher.
Right, right. And we're delighted with that. And we're doing what we expected. Everything is going pretty much the way we thought it would, except for all of a sudden this past month everything just died. And I don't feel uncomfortable that I'm doing something wrong. I don't know, but we got to keep marketing, keep marketing, keep marketing, keep marketing.
I agree. Bill, what do you have to say about this?
Well, I'm trying to think of, what is there that you might have been doing earlier that you're not doing now, or what is it that you're not doing that you could be doing? Or is that the question that you're wrestling with as well?
Well, I haven't stopped to figure that out yet. That's what I've got to stop and sit down and look at.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if everything that you're doing is working as well as you can work it, then it's got to be, then the next question is, what else can we throw into the mix here that we haven't done before?
Well, nobody ever does everything perfect.
Yeah.
No, there's no way I'm going to sit here and tell you we're doing everything perfect.
But I think one of the things you might want to think about is just literally sit down and write out over a period of time a list of options that come to your mind in terms of what you were doing before in terms of your external marketing and things that you were doing in terms of your internal marketing. And then thinking about other variables that you could add to that mix, whether it's, internal discount coupons like I talked about in order to try to get that, or, other promotionals on beer nights or, the slower beer nights and things like that, or whether on food. Because with that increased dining room capacity and bar capacity, obviously, you need the marginal increase in traffic.
Well, I really don't care if I increase my food traffic. I really don't care if I increase food traffic or not.
Got it.
We don't make money selling food. We make money. I shouldn't say we don't make money. We make a lot more money selling booze than we do food. Food is just there to get people in the door to drink.
And keep them there before they get loaded up.
Right.
And that's part of it. You've got to have something that's decent there to do that. But maybe, you've seen, because you've been in operation there how many years now? Ten or less?
We would have been. This would be our 13th year.
Yeah. Well, you opened up like I did in 90.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, your audience and clientele. And trying to appeal to, well, of course, Bill, we can always go back to the old theory, that I've always believed in, big tits.
Well, there's
you what?
Big tits.
Big tits, yeah.
I got those, too.
that's part of the basics of life. I mean,
that is definitely the secret to success.
It is. In running a bar, it's always, personality says a lot, but, there are other types of personality that always attract more.
Regardless of Bill's hiring plan.
Yeah, right.
Now, Bill, I'm not sure where that is on the on the CD-ROM, but
yeah.
And all the stuff he sent me, it wasn't noticed at all. So
I got to tell you, I did have one of the first times when I first put the staff selection system out, I was doing a program on it for a multi-concept operator in Denver, and multi-concept in that they had restaurants all the way from white tablecloth seafood to titty bars. And one of the managers of one of the titty bars came to me and said, "How we have a certain physical requirement in the women that we hire, how do I make that a valid job qualification? And so basically you can't.
Right.
But if you follow the system through, by the time you get to a point of making an offer, you've looked at people in so many different ways that essentially you can take anybody you want for any reason you want and be pretty defensible, because they can't say, well, you didn't hire me because.
We just haven't had to have to take a physical, that's all.
Yeah, there you go. This is not the one in the manager's office?
No, not anymore, not with the EEOC lawsuits.
Mm.
Yeah, not anymore. You have to have it done by a doctor.
Yeah. They used to
damn
be
it,
a,
all the fun's gone.
They used to be a job perk, too. I kind of miss taking the cocktail waitresses home.
Well, that was the 70s, Bill.
Oh, yeah, it's true. God, it was fun.
Even up until the 80s, you know, I guess, at certain points, but I guess all those fringe benefits are gone now. But I think that...
one of the things I was thinking about, excuse me jumping in here, but one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking, Alex, is maybe you say that you don't, you know, you're really trying to get people in for the bar, but maybe the food program could benefit from some added attention. I know one of the things that Randy does that I've always appreciated was the idea, and I assume you're still doing that, where you keep track of call parties.
Oh, sure.
How many people come in and ask for a particular server station? Because I think ultimately it's a one-on-one business. And yeah, it's, you know, Sunset's a great place, but I go there because Betty Lou always takes such good care of me. And so Betty Lou essentially has her clientele, and if she can develop those and create a connection and bring them back in, she benefits and the house benefits.
There's just relationships that build up with, whether it's the guys because they're talking sports, or it's the girls because they are single or whatever. You know, that it does come down a lot to that relationship building. And the other side of the thing is, you know, you describe yourself, you know, as a kind of a gourmet Fridays. Well, Fridays years ago was a gourmet restaurant where everything was made in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, better quality food, if you can produce something that's a decent product and upgrade it, even in a bar environment, there is a difference between, you know, just gut bombs and quality food products, because there's a lot of pre-prepared products out there that are pretty darn excellent. I don't use them because I make everything from scratch in my situation, but I know the products that are out there when I'm, you know, surveying. And, you know, they're out there, and I'm sure you're using many of them.
No, we're not. We're using almost everything is, you know, we advertise, the restaurant's name is Isaac Newton's.
Right.
And our theme is that Isaac was reincarnated here in Pennsylvania and is continuing his experiments in food rather than in geometry and so on and so forth.
Right, that's a legend, okay.
It's a legend. And we say that, you know, when Isaac was a kid, there was no refrigerated ox cart. Therefore, you know, Isaac had to make everything himself at home, and he still does. Everything we buy is we buy fresh, and we make everything from scratch in our restaurant. They're all our own recipes. You know, we don't buy from people in Chicago who make it and freeze it and then send it to us, and we thaw it out and serve it. You know, that's our shtick.
Right. And it's working for you.
And it has always worked, and I feel that it is still working. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think I'm doing everything right and I can't do anything better, but I do feel pretty comfortable that we are doing the majority of things we're doing correctly, and I do feel that, you know, it's got to be this economic, you know, environment that we're in out there, and the customer response day after day after day after day.
Is this very positive?
It's very positive, very positive.
And that's what's working for it.
So.
Because when you've got a good product and you're delivering it consistently, you got to feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me then the strategy becomes, how do you just get some additional frequency out of the people that you've already got? And I could think that's better strategy than trying to buy new customers who, you know, got bad and having been back since the fire or otherwise. So I think one of the things you might want to look at it is the internal marketing issue of offering, you know, incentives to your existing customers, whether by using the reprinting at the bottom of your tickets or things that you hand out to people, you know, the staff hands out for, you know, for whatever niche that you want to, you know, promote or incentivize, or whether it's a certain day part of the week or just an overall sector.
We have the ability to do that with the, of course, we have a brand new micro system. So we have the ability to do that. We have not been doing it. I'm going to have to jump on my staff to get something, you know, on that and put something on every ticket.
Well, I think it's not only get it on the ticket, but then you've got to get the staff to, you know, let the customers know that it's there. Otherwise, they're just going to pocket it or ditch it and not pay any attention to it.
Right.
But I think, you know, once you get that internal marketing going and decide what you want to focus on, I think it can be a great, you know, selling tool for you if you've got a limited time span on it because you're trying to increase frequency.
Right.
You know, bring this back within a week, you know, or 10 days or whatever time sector, but don't make it too long because you, what you're trying to improve is that frequency.
Right. It has to, yeah, I agree. Anything you do in that direction has to be,
you know, or, you
has
know,
to be immediate.
Or during lunchtime, you know, bring this in for dinner, you know, and get 10% off, you know.
Well, there's really only three ways to build volume. You'd have to increase frequency. Well, I guess four if you bring in a bunch of people who've never been there before. But taking that out, either build frequency, build check average, or build party size.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so party size might be another thing to look at. Is how do you get the people who are coming in to bring friends? And there might be some incentive that you could work out for that. Because that, you know, that friends and family channel isn't censored.
Right.
So if, you know, if I invite you, say, you know, why don't you get the wife and let's four of us go down to Isaac Newton's for dinner, the fact that, you know, we might get a deal on a bottle of wine or something for doing that, doesn't have to enter into the discussion, but that's one of the things that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me an incentive. If I come in with two more people, then here's what I get. You know, bottle wine for the table or something.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've been doing. I've been doing a coupon for $20 off dinner for four. Instead of just pushing dinners for two, I'm pushing dinner for four.
That's a good idea.
And
I
it's
like
really
that.
Working.
I like that.
It's really working. You know, and whatever the economics are at your price point, you know, and your check average, but
yeah,
for
let
me,
them go out and figure out how to grab some more people so they can get the deal. You know?
Right, and for me, hell, it's cheaper than actually giving them a dessert.
Sure, and I'd rather see the four any day than a two.
Exactly.
That I think I will definitely do.
Well, maybe something,
and that can be the start on the thermal printer too.
Yeah, because I think the thermal printer is a great tool. I've seen a lot of different people. I was just down in Atlanta last weekend, and my buddy Penopoulos, who's got, I guess, 12 restaurants down there now, they're really aggressive in doing that in each shop, whether it's their, you know, their bakery situation and buy, you know, get percentage off goods or come back and get 10% off, you know, if you dine with us, you know, within the next, you know, 2 weeks. Each store has got some different things that they're promoting and pushing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with good thermal printers, you know, it's there, and it's free.
Well, maybe there's a way to tie that in, because that's something that the servers are going to need to talk to them about, because you can't count on them to read it.
Exactly, my point earlier.
That if there's,
well,
I just
wrote a script, and on the bottom of the script I put down, please ask for me when you come back.
Yeah. If you can tie some reward to the server for getting
right,
that party
back from them. Run a contest with the servers at the sure. same time. Let the servers read it. Let the servers announce it. And then tell them to ask for them when they come back. So there's a reward for them if the customer asks for them when they come back, and you know they're going to promote it.
Because when you get that, because when you get the staff involved and they buy in.
Right.
Oh, baby.
Absolutely. Staff has to buy in. Every promotion that I've done that the staff didn't like or that the staff wasn't properly educated to how it worked was a flop.
Yeah.
And when the staff fully understood the promotion, even to the tune that they want to know why you're doing it. If they know why you're doing it,
yeah,
hey,
they work.
They'll go work their asses off.
Well, I think
because they also want to know what's in it for them.
Absolutely.
Well, you've got a great opportunity right now because the story is not, well, you know, because we need the money, but because it, I mean, even if it is, but you say, you know, if we can, the way that restaurants work is whatever we're coming off that honeymoon, and whatever level we stabilize that is the level we're likely to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to stabilize at the highest level that we can, and because in the long run that's more money for everybody, and that makes them, I think probably makes more sense to them than just because I'm hurting or because I need the money or whatever.
Yeah, I never tell them I need the money.
Yeah,
but that's the buy-in for them. That just means they're going to need more shifts,
Right.
More shifts to go around.
More shifts with more business. So.
More tips.
Yep.
Well, I think that's certainly one of the best factors that you can do is in any of these internal promotions, it's all about the staff understanding what's in it for them. And by giving them a role in that and understanding that, just like in years past, you know that they will carry you if you can design a measurable contest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, does that give you enough to make the call worthwhile?
Oh, every time I talk to you is worthwhile, Bill. I just don't get a chance to talk to you enough.
God, well, you know where to find me. Give me a buzz, and we'll. One of these days, we need to do that chat about insurance and reopening and recovery and all that.
Well, Rory's really pushing me to do it with him.
Okay.
And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if you have the same audience or not.
There probably are a couple that are the same. I really don't know because I don't know. I don't have his list.
Mm.
There's probably a few folks that are on both lists, and so what? I mean, it doesn't much matter to me.
Well, Rory gave me this thing the other day. He said, "Well, you remember my group before you remember Bill. If it wasn't for me, you never would have met Bill. So
yeah.
You got to do it with me."
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I can't argue with that. Okay, well, anyway, I think we've kind of run out of our time on the bridge here, so I won't, unless you've got any kind of last-minute questions.
I'm just glad we had this call, glad I got in on this call.
Well, so you get sort of a private consulting session here.
Sure.
No extra charge, right, Bill?
Can't argue with that.
All right, buddy.